This morning we've all gathered for unmistakably a very, very sad day in our community. We have lost a precious soul. We've lost a pillar. We've lost a dear friend. A devoted wife, always at her husband's side. Devoted children who adored their father. A father who dearly loved his son. A brother and a sister who will miss their brother. I speak of our dear Dale Newhouse. Of only 52 years, life cut short. I refer to his dear wife, Helene, his children, Isaac, Dolly, and Elise, his dear father, to give them much of them with all of you, to Isaac Newhart, his wonderful sister Lynn, and his other mother. We have a very poetic and beautiful tradition, Masoret Bidayadenu, as brought to light by one of the greatest rabbinic scholars that ever lived, Maimonides. As he states in the Mishneh Torah, when expounding on the laws of reciting the Shema, the poetic tradition, as he states, says the following: Jacob, the patriarch, on his deathbed, was very concerned that his large family, that his children, would be diligent in understanding the oneness of the Creator of the world. There was no Torah at that time. Mount Sinai, the revelation of Mount Sinai hadn't occurred. Yet Jacob, the patriarch, was keenly aware of who we are and who we would be. He was concerned that his sons and his children would follow in the footsteps of Jacob's father, their grandfather, Yitzhak, and of Yitzhak's father, Abraham. He was on his deathbed. His loving children said to him, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Homiletically, that pasuk hadn't even been written yet in the Torah. But it is absolute beautiful, rabbinic, traditional, poetic, if you will. The son said, Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel. Israel was another name for Jacob. Hear, O Israel, listen, our father, please listen. Adonai Eloheinu, we know that God is our God. Adonai Echad. And you don't have to worry about us. We know that the ultimate oneness, there is nothing more one than God Almighty. After which time, Yaakov, their father, answered, Baruch Shem Tavor Malkuto Le'olam Ba'el. Blessed be the name of God's glorious nation forever. We say this pasukim today, the first pasuk we say out loud, and it is to this tradition that Maimonides points why we say that second pasuk in the muted tone, quietly. This story reminds me of the beauty of the life that the family so lovingly told me about Dale, and that which I probably knew deep inside about Dale. He never gave up on life. but he was also there to listen. In his last years, in his last months, in his last week, he made it a point to convey to his children what was important to him. The Mesorah, the tradition as were transmitted to him by his father and mother, Mr. Isaac Bihar, and his blessed memory, Mrs. Eleanor Bihar, and with their parents, from there to Israel and to Lee, to their children. Which is probably why he embraced every Jewish holiday the way he did. And in the end, more intensely, and making sure that Isaac, Dolly, and Elise know that this is the way they think. Be it Kiddush on Shabbat, be it Pesach, or one of his most favorite holidays, Sukkot. Kids, this is who we are. This is what we do. This is what my father taught me. This is my God, and I want to beautify everything about God. Elohe Abi, he is the God of my father. I believe what I believe because I was taught to by my father. And he did and conveyed it to you. His children were everything to him. There was no enjoyment in life without the Lean and without his children. He cherished teaching them, whether it be about life or be something specific religiously, like each one of their bat or bar mitzvah. He along with his father taught him the parashah, and I'm sure with Elise worked with you with his speeches. And he loved to convey the idea of giving a speech, not because it put one of his children in the middle of the spotlight, but because it gave him an opportunity to bring out his loving children's personality. He attempted, and I think succeeded, in conveying the connection that we all strive for having with our Torah, with our religion, with everything about us, down to the children. He is that kind of individual. In the Shema, it also says, "V'shinan gam levarecha." And the Torah uses the word "v'shinan gam," which means you shall teach your children. You shall teach these words to your children. Any grammarian knows "v'shinan gam" doesn't necessarily mean teach. "Ulmatem" means to teach. "V'shinan gam" is something more specific. You have to, for lack of a better word in English, you have to drill the information, repeat it over and over and over again, so that those on the receiving end understand what you mean. That's the Shinan Tam Levanah. So does it mean send your children to get third party education only? That's all very good, but you must educate them at home. Be it in business, be it with something that deals with Judaism, or whatever aspect in their life that will benefit them as they move through life. It is a parent's duty and obligation. It's not separate from the Torah. Dale understood that innately and conveyed it successfully, both he and to me. Their children was their life. As you all know, I don't have to tell you, Dale was a fixture in this very congregation. The congregation of his mother and father, the congregation of his maternal grandparents, the Kapilulos, and the congregation of his paternal grandfather, the Hungarian. He cared dearly for the community in all its aspects, and specifically for the Kihila. He was the past president, and he loved everything associated with the infrastructure of the Kihila. He loved to blow the shofar, and he was a perfectionist. Dale was an accomplished entrepreneur, successful in business. And it wasn't by luck, and it wasn't necessarily by inheritance of the school. He stopped them out, he engaged, and he succeeded. What ate Bethel was that he loved what he did. Especially in these last few years, when you might think, lo aleinu, someone in his position might have you coiled and hung it up and say, what do I need to knock myself out of you? Instead, he found comfort, he found purpose, and he excelled at his job to do it. Because he loves his work. The creativity and the business dealings and working with people and interaction with people inspired him. And he didn't work just for economic gain, but his pleasure, the ultimate payoff, was for him and Halim, for he and Halim to provide for their children in the best way that was safe and easy. Their happiness was part and parcel of the benefit that they needed. Our sages tell us, make sure in your lifetime, when you need to know something, you go to an expert. We are born with knowledge. We are born with the capacity to pursue knowledge. And it is our responsibility to get into that pursuit, to engage in that pursuit. Masechet Avot is speaking specifically here about if you want to know something about our faith, if you want to know something about our Torah, you cannot be born with it. You have to go find for yourself a teacher, somebody who will teach you so you will know. You're not born with it. And they will do this throughout his lifetime. He will drink from the well of those who have something to say about the Torah from which he can receive benefit. And he lived that way. See, Norman tells me that when he was in the hospital, and he had to go back and forth several times from home to the hospital, he almost had like a kit packed, ready to go, with certain religious objects in him that he knew he would need, that speak to his unshakable faith in God and his commitment to what he believed in. He wore a kumash, his name. He always had a kippah on in the hospital. Not that that in and of itself is the end of all, but it speaks volumes about his belief and his faith. And HaKaver, our rabbis also tell us, not only do we have to seek out a teacher to teach us the things we don't know and that we need to know in order to survive in life, but we need to acquire a friend. If this room filled with all of us doesn't say that, I don't know what does. Dale had a vast array of friendships. And you could never pigeonhole, you could never peg the kind of friend Dale would be friends. Because it was so vast and so varied. It was because he was an expert at finding the good in everybody. And whomever he came in contact, he found their good, and he made a significant and meaningful relationship out of that friendship until the end. He had a huge personality, as you all know. When he walked into the room, he filled me with his personality. He was enthusiastic. He could start, he could buy, and he could be friends. So many of us stand on the sidelines of life, trying to analyze life, trying to figure out what we do next. All the while, a man like Dale, along with the dear wife Helene, lived on. Think less, do more. And that's what they did. He specifically loved the celebration of his 50 years. When he turned 50 years old. He loved parties generally. He was a man of parties. In a very good way, it was because it brought his friends and his family together. It was because Dale did not ever want to be alone. And that makes what he went through this last 2 years even more profound. He expressed from his heart how much he loved life, how much he loved everything he had, how blessed he felt that God Almighty gave him everything and every day. From Helene, to Isaac, to Solomon, to Elise, to his entire family. And in the end, it was the very friendship that he made throughout his life. And so many of them stayed close with him, visited him, meaningful, significant relationships. In the end, it was those relationships in whom he found great comfort. Those relationships, those friendships, helped him until the very end. He was blessed with very proud siblings, and Lynn, and Ron, and their extended family. They are close family, respectful, treated each other and everybody with dignity, always wanted to do the right thing. And Norman and Lynn had only kind words, fond memories. In fact, yesterday, Lynn's words in describing some of the attributes of Dale came spewed forth from her as if she, as we say in Hebrew, shigurah b'fi, it was like automatic, there was no thought, that every word was thought. Similarly, Norman looked up to Dale, friends with Dale, going up, shared a room with Dale, and forged a brotherly relationship. One of the greatest new books that we have. In fact, I wouldn't dare stand up here and try to tell you that one mitzvah is greater, one precept, one of our commandments is greater than another. In fact, we're warned not to do so. However, I certainly can say that there are three that I know change the life of the one who performs them, the following, one who's on the receiving end of them, and those around them. And three that come to mind are Shabbat, observance of Shabbat, Gimurut HaSadim, which is showing acts of kindness, helping people in need for whatever, or just being a kind individual, and Kibud HaVa'em, honoring your parents. And it is this last mitzvah that Dale did with such regal intent. His father always looked after his father. He had a deeply close relationship with his mother, Eleanor. We all, many of us remember her. She herself was a dignified, regal woman. Dale missed her dearly. They were close. And Dale also drank from the water that his father and mother provided to him in honoring their friends. And I know Dale and Helene passed that on to their children. Mr. Behar, nobody should have to endure the loss that you are, that you have endured. And we all hope you find comfort in the family that loves you dearly, the children, the grandchildren, and this entire community to whom we are very good. Needless to say, in the tight-knit family that he's got to work, Dale also was so respectful of all of his cousins, all of his aunts, and all of his uncles. We can tell that by how they interacted with everything. Our sages in the Talmud give us some good advice. And the Gemara says, "Le'olam yehe adam zahir b'chvod ishto, she'en beracha mitzuya b'toch beto, ela b'shvil ishto." At the risk of stepping on the toes of political correctness, I will go out on a limb and translate this. The Talmud in Masechet Baba Metzia tells us, one of our Emoraim says, A man should be very careful and very diligent to always afford honor, kavod, and dignity to his wife. Because any beracha, any blessing that comes about in a household only comes on account of her. King Solomon, much earlier, writes in the book of Proverbs in Mishlei, we all know the last paragraph, the last chapter of the woman of valor, but he also mentions another form of the woman of valor earlier in the book of Mishlei in Proverbs, where he says, Eshet Chayil, Acheret Bala. A woman, a valorous woman, is the crown of her husband. These two passages seem to be in contradiction. Is the wife supposed to be the crown of her husband? Or is the husband supposed to look after his wife with all honor and dignity? The answer is Dale and believe. In principle, and in practically speaking, they fought. Who gives the other more? Who puts the other higher on a pedestal? You see, because the truth is, the highlight of Dale's life was his wife Elise. They were at each other's side constantly. They always saw them together. They worked together. They went to the office together. They came home together. They raised their children together. They did everything together. And they did it successfully. They did it lovingly, with devotion. And who loved the other man? Impossible to say. Who did more for the other? Impossible to say. Because they were both constantly serving each other. Towards the end, Aline, in her angelic life, demeanor, disposition, with God's side, lovingly and with devotion, looking after his every move, making sure he was always comfortable, morning, noon, and night, and every time he came. The blessing that is will yet to be realized. And God willing, it will be realized to me and your children, because it is like the Son. The Son of another and the Son of Father. Not a fairy tale, in real life, true love and devotion to each other in the best possible way. And for me, it is to your merit. The relationship that Dale had with your parents, the Solomon family, it is to your credit. Today, although they are an extension of you, Dale truly embraced from his parents, not just his in-laws, but as friends, and it was mutual. I vividly remember 2 or 3 years ago, and Yom Kippur, when Saul Anna got called to the Torah, as he always does, on the day of Yom Kippur, he provides a list showing me the names of his family who have since passed, and he wants to honor their memory. And at the end of that, with difficulty and hardly able to say the words, he said, I want your prayer for my son-in-law, Dale. And then he paused a moment and said, my best friend. So the truth of the matter is, there aren't words, there aren't sufficient words, there aren't enough words to eulogize the life of Dale. He was unique. He and Helene, their relationship, their children, that which they had been blessed with, they realized that they appreciated it, And now you have to cherish those memories. And you have to thank God for everything that you had and everything that you have. I understand now very clearly why we greet people at the end or during the Shabbat, during this time of mourning. We say, Baruch Menachem Avilim, Min HaShemayim Tulichamo, and Menachem Menachem Etzem, whatever the salutation is that you want to give to your even family comfort, none of it is absent the blessings that have to come from God. Grief, sadness, mourning is a breach. Death is a breach in the fabric of life. And the only one who can repair that breach is God Almighty. It's not just time. Because it is God who controls time. Time is merely the medium that we can observe. But it is God who repairs the tear, who repairs the breach. And it is our prayer that you have nechama, that you have consolation, and that his memory will always be a blessing. He loves you dearly, Helene. He loves you, Isaac, Dolly, Elise, the Isaac sweetheart, Lynn, Norman, his in-laws, all of his family, extended family. He loves the castle that he called his home, that he wasn't just a beautiful home, but it was the home that housed his most prized possession. Helene, his children. He loved providing for them. He loved the joy it brought them. He fought, he persevered for as long as Almighty God would permit. He even made plans for the future when the future was less than certain. And the future is not certain for any of us. None of us has a guarantee. But they all had a red light. And nonetheless, he looked at the red light and he continued to pray. He openly articulated how much he loved life and how much he wasn't ready to give up on life. To speak to his family and to his wife and children and all of his friends who enhanced his life so much. And to give up the life was inspirational. No one ever lived long enough. It's never the right time. But if you take a lesson from Dale and live life to the fullest, it is enhanced. Life is enhanced. The people like Dale who lived it really to the fullest, with meaning and purpose, with a warm and loving family, cherished friendship, and a generous and giving spirit. May his memory serve as a blessing to all. The head is for the first of God, and for our Amen.